much fun and wild things that go on around the Christmas season, holidays in general. Kids, if you're in the room, you can be dismissed to children's church, that kind of stuff. And I don't know your family's traditions, but there are things that kind of stick with us year after year. One of my favorite, we do it every year, is our seafood dump, which we just do a big Cajun boil of seafood, and then we dump it on the middle of the table, and we act like animals. It's great. It's very fun. We get to, instead of be all classy, we get to eat with our fingers, and we smear butter on our faces. It's wonderful. Well, that's not all of us, just Petraea. But we just have a blast. And another one of our family traditions is cinnamon rolls on Christmas morning. And even if you don't eat them, we've still got to make them. One year we made them and it made everybody sick, we think. Well, we don't know. It could have been. I made them that year from scratch. It was a little... We don't know why to this day. It's unscientific, I think. But they, instead of just raising the normal, they were like this big. So, and they smelled funny, kind of like beer. No, I'm teasing. No. You just never know what your family traditions are until you talk about them openly like this. But those are just a couple of them that we love. And we definitely enjoy something new out of every new season. And we're in a new season, aren't we? Some of our girls are out of the house, and some of you know what that's like. And it's amazing how the older you get and the more that the Lord allows you to experience other chapters, there's new joys. And I look forward to that. It's part of the reason why I feel the message today is what it's going to be. And I want you to turn with me to a section in the Old Testament in Genesis. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 19. And what we will be discussing today is summed up in this phrase. If you're going to take notes today, I suggest you write this down. It's the most important thing to remember. It's the abundant life that God has for you is ahead of you, not behind you. The abundant life that God has for you is ahead of you. It's not behind you. This is very important for every one of us, no matter the phase of life you're in. It's so good to hold on to this core truth. It's the way God intends life to be lived. There is an abundant life that God has for you, but it's in front of you. It's ahead of you. It's not behind. Life begins to break down when we stop looking for that abundant life in front of us and we begin to look back in a negative way. I'm not against remembering good things. I just told you some traditions. So I'm not saying this is all or nothing. I'm just telling you there is a biblical principle of your abundant life is ahead of you, not behind. So we prayed, and let's follow this story out of Genesis 19 and verses 15 through 26. And I want to focus on just a small section of this, verse 17 and verse 26. It says in verse 17, it says that when the angels had brought Lot and his family outside of the city, one of those angels said to Lot and his family, "Escape for your life. Escape for your life." This is an important thing. Some of you need to hear that almost in a prophetic way. You are dying spiritually. You might even be dying mentally. The word for the Lord for you today is escape. Escape for your life's sake. Leave. Leave all that junk that's causing this problem and run on ahead to this abundant life that God's got for you. It says, escape for your life's sake. Do not look behind you. Beautiful phrase. It's beautiful. He even goes on there. Look at this. And I don't want you to camp out, stay anywhere near here. So if you're going to leave someplace for your life's sake, don't camp out near all the junk that you've got to leave behind and stop looking back on. Don't pitch a tent next to it. How many of us have ever done that? figuratively speaking. Yes, thank you for being honest. I've done that. I think I've built a condo right next to it before. And so now let's skip ahead and read verse 26. In verse 26, it says this, his Lot and his wife were running away from these towns, Sodom and Gomorrah. His wife, who was following behind him, looked back and she became a pillar of salt. In the original language, it's important for you to know that this is an active present sense of what's happening here. It's not that she glanced back. In the old movies that we see that show this, that's what they show. You're walking and she's like, oh, I heard a noise. And then she just froze. That's not it at all. It's not that. God is not waiting there with the hammer. Wait. Ooh, is that a glance? Is that the boom? It's not like that. This is an active present sense, meaning as they were leaving, her heart was still back there. She wanted back there. She thought fondly back there. She longed for back there. She was looking back in a whole sense of who she was. It was her disposition. She was taking steps forward, but her heart was going backwards. Her mind was going backwards. And so because of that, she suffered the same fate as everyone in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. If you remember the story, you could read this whole section right here. Because of their rejection of God, God judged them. This became a beautiful illustration of what happens in the New Testament as Jesus. You could look at this in Luke 17. He tells everyone, remember Lot's wife. This instance, this story became a story told time and time again to encourage everyone, do not look back on your old life. Follow Christ with everything. Choose who you're going to love and serve. And make your mind up and don't waver between those positions. And the reason is because if you look back, there's nothing but death and destruction. If you look forward, you have what Jesus has purchased for you. John 10:10 says that he wants to give you life abundant. And nothing about that abundant life is back in Sodom and Gomorrah or back in the proverbial Egypt, our enslavement to sin. I love one of the verses. This is one of my favorite verses. When people ask me, what's your favorite verse? I'm like, all of them. I don't know. I'm always like a sheep or like a deer with headlights, you know. I don't know. This is one of my top, though. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, it says, for our life is hidden with Christ. Our life is hidden with Christ. So it's not in Sodom and Gomorrah that our life exists. It's with Christ. Thank you for that. It's not with something else. It's not in a relationship. It's not in a job. It's not in an experience. It's not in any of those things. You can get all of those in your old life, can't you? But what you cannot get back there is Jesus. You can't get Jesus. And your life is hidden with Christ. And since we just went through Christmas, some of us opened up presents. Okay, this was a joy this year. We have a little schnauzer. He's just the devil incarnate. And no, he's actually wonderful. We love him. In fact, he's our baby. At night, he does these things with it. He's really Haley's dog, maybe, or he's all the kids' dog, but he's my baby. And I'll play guitar, and he'll fall asleep at my feet. He'll come under, and it started out, he would sleep in my guitar, you know, case a couple times. He'd jump in there, and he'd be like, he's the coolest dog ever. And this year, he discovered that he knew how to open presents. It was so cute. It was nice. And he's so polite. He actually, we told him, he stuck his head in the bag and then he, with his mouth, took out the little paper and then he got his toy out. And then we tried him with the wrap presents. He was, so when all of our kids are gone, we're just going to have more schnauzers. Okay, kids, let's go. You know, it's great. Petraea loves feeding him. I love cuddling him. And then at night, I put him to bed. I hold him like a baby. Still, and I'm like, night, buddy. You sleep tight. And, and it's just so cute. If I just turned in my man card, I'm sorry. It's those little eyes. They look up at you and you just melt. Oh. And, you know, since my little dog just knows how to open up that present and get that little pig ear, you and I should also know how to open up Christ and discover an abundant life. If a dog can open up a present and get his pig ear, you and I should be able to draw near to the Lord and open up the present of abundant life. We start it by faith, right? But that's just the beginning. How many people start this walk of faith but are just like Lot's wife and haven't settled in their heart where their life is at? And then is it any surprise that they never quite find that abundant life? They're even in church, but they haven't quite found what they're looking for. What a sad reality is that? How many of you here this morning have found what you're looking for? Show me. You found what you're looking for? Man, oh man, I have found what I'm looking for. So the things that we do find in Christ, it's a relationship with Him. And it culminates in eternity. You know, and that relationship with Christ, it kind of forms in my mind, I think of it as a basis for what we know we should remember and what it is that we should, I guess, be inspired to forget. Because if it draws us nearer to this relationship with the Lord, it's something valuable. If it drives a wedge in between us and our life, then it's something we should forget, dismiss, or put away. So the remainder of this message, I felt like asking these questions. What do we need to forget? What do we need to put off, drop, leave? This is like the last message in this year. And I just felt what a beautiful time to say, okay, what else needs to end? What do we need to drop and not bring into 2022? I would love to drop taxes and not bring them into 2022, but that's not going to happen. There's a lot of things I would love to, some of it's not realistic, but there are things I believe we falsely think it's going to be a part of our life forever. That's so not true. We need to stop and examine ourselves. You know, there's this quote by Socrates, and it says, "The unexamined life is not worth living." So some of what I enjoy doing at the end of the year is sitting with my journal and saying to myself and asking before the Lord, "Lord, what do I need to let go of? What do I need to leave behind and forget? And what do I need to grab onto?" So here's what I believe in principle represents some of the things that we need to let go of and not look back on, not go backwards and keep our eyes forward. And here's the first one. It comes out. We could probably say it out of 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 says this. It states that there were some in the church at that time. This is a beautiful letter. There were some in the church at that time that had past lifestyles that involved homosexuality, crime, you know, alcoholism, adultery, idolatry. There's a lot more mentioned, not just in that letter, but in more and more and more. And he points out that now they're different. He says they're different. In fact, they're new creations is what he's telling them. And so if we believe that we're new creations, then Christians should consider all of these, even the literal parts of our body that were involved in those former things. Now we, almost in a metaphorical sense, we have to consider them dead. And do you know the funny thing about dead things? Dead things feel nothing, do they? Dead things don't respond. It's just weird. That's the way they are. And that old nature, if you reckon yourself dead, it should stop. Now, I'm not saying you will be without sin. I'm saying that it should stop having a draw or a pull. It should stop dominating your thoughts and your life. Really, all I'm saying is point one here is you've got to forget the old bad you. The old bad you have to forget. Here's the first thing you've got to just let yourself go, all right, I'm going to breathe this information in. What is the Lord speaking to me this year? This year, you need to know that maybe there was a bunch of stuff that reminded you of how bad and nasty you used to be. Or whatever it is. Maybe every time you look in the mirror, you had bad thoughts. Maybe other people in your life reminded you of who you used to be. Well, what do you need to do? Get rid of that junk. Stop thinking about that stuff. Let it go. That is dead and gone. Was it true of you? Yeah, the old you. That guy's dead. There's a whole new creation now. And he's got a whole new set of things about him. And I may look the same, but I'm not the same. And every day I'm even changing the way I look. And so it is a beautiful thing, even in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. It says, not only are these things from our old life dead and gone, he says that some of these things are even shameful to talk about. He's saying there are things that we can't even carelessly talk about. How do we let them go? Man, do you got some old friends that like to talk about old times? Is all that healthy? Come on, be honest with yourself. Now, some of that healthy for you? Maybe some of it is. Maybe you're telling yourself that that's that last little bridge to the old unsaved friend that you just know you are the one light that's going to get them saved. Don't give yourself too much credit. God can use anybody. He speaks through donkeys in the Old Testament. He can speak through anybody. He doesn't have to use you. Sometimes that is a lie from the enemy twisted to keep you just close to your past, and there's a little hook still in you from your past. Why can't you just cut some of those things off? It's amazing to me, but the enemy is just deceitful. He just is. He really is. He'll use Scripture to try and keep you looking back and in your old ways. I remember growing up in a youth group, I became, at different times, I was infatuated with testimonies. I loved to hear the bigger, the scarier, the darker, the evil, the whatever. It was almost like a Christian version of a horror movie. And so whenever I would listen to it, I'd be like, tell me how bad it was. No, seriously, spare no detail. And I don't know if you were like that growing up, if you grew up in church, but for me, that was kind of my only secret candy that was unallowed. I couldn't watch R-rated movies. I couldn't think about things like that unless it was a testimony. Then talk about all the drugs, sex, crazy violence, everything that you wanted, spare no gooey detail. I want to know it all. And that was just to magnify how great God was. His forgiveness and his... You know, I think there's a fine line where we can be embellishing and drawing attention and grandizing something. And you know what? Let's not give the devil too big of a platform. You got to keep it kind of to what is edifying and building up, right? There are a lot of things that my dad, from his early years, he said, Ben, you don't need to know this stuff. I always felt like, yeah, I do. Ooh, that's, why are you saving the good stuff? But he knew what I didn't as a young man. And there are things now that I'm much older, I go, yeah, my kids don't need to know this. Petrea is a great filter for me. There's times where I feel I could share something and she will go, but she'll tell me, no. And I go, you are a better person than me. Yes, I will not share this. And sometimes I disobey and share, and she's like, see, I told you, you shouldn't have shared that. And I'm like, darn it, you know? And it's a way that it keeps the innocent innocent. And they don't need to know how bad sin is. All of us know how bad sin is. And those that don't, it's because they're blinded by sin's deceitfulness. And you and I can't open those eyes. Only the Holy Spirit can. You can't shock and awe someone into the kingdom. It's the Holy Spirit that opens their eyes. And when He does, they are broken at their sin, like the prophets in the Old Testament. I'm undone. Oh my gosh, I'm so unclean. I'm so dirty. And for them, whatever their past is and whatever life, they hate it. It's shameful. They don't even want to go back there. It's disgusting. All they want to talk about is what's in front of them, the grace and mercy that God has given to them. And so we've got to be careful on even looking back for kind of distorted reasons. Some of that stuff is shameful. It's amazing in Ephesians chapter 5, it says that we're supposed to find out what pleases the Lord. And in verses 10 and 11, it says, and we're not supposed to have anything with to do with those old fruitless deeds of darkness. Instead, we should expose them as fruitless deeds of darkness. We shouldn't even talk about those things that are done in disobedience and in the secret. We just shouldn't even talk about that. You know, I was thinking about how God treats us in our sin. It's beautiful what is said in Hebrews 8:12 and in Psalms 103. I love Psalms 103 too. That's another great psalm. In Hebrews 8:12, it says, I will remember their sins no more. What a beautiful aspect to covenant relationship with the Lord. He says, now because of my blood, I will remember your sins no more. You ever think about that? God forgets our sins. He says, yep, it's all buried. Not going to bring it back up. Not going to hold it against you. Why do we keep remembering it? Let's drop it. And it says there in Psalms 103, it goes, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed our transgressions from us. So this next year, instead of looking back at what we, let's look ahead at, we're free from that junk. We're a brand new creation. There is so much new in us and for us. We have no incentive to look back. There's nothing there for us. We can forget it. How beautiful would that be if this next year you forgot your old labels, your old ruts and habits, and all those old ways of identifying you, and really saw yourself as Christ saw you? Anybody want that? I want that. Sounds good. I like that. So here's how I want you to do this. I want you to apply it in these ways. If you're taking notes, here's how you apply it. Stop thinking fondly about anything related to your old self. Don't romanticize it. Those were not the days. So stop thinking about them fondly. Oh, I just loved it. Boy, we had fun when we would go bar hopping together with all those friends. Yeah, stop thinking about it, because you're not thinking about the times where you gut-wrenchingly puked all over yourself, or you woke up in a stupor, or you lost all that money for your $9 a drink, and all, you know, and then you couldn't make your rent, or, you know, whatever it is. There's so many things you're not even thinking about that, and all the friends that used you or abused you, or you know, all that. Stop thinking about that. Think about something else. Beautiful, but stop thinking fondly about that. And okay, when you get our age, some of you are my age and older, have you kept some of your clothes from like years and years ago? So this is so funny. There are times where we'll go through pictures and I'll see something that I wore when I was in high school, and I'll be like, yeah. Ah, I love that shirt. Look at that hairstyle. That was awesome. That's when I had hair. That was amazing. This is great, you know. And all kinds of things. Look at that. You know, the Bible tells us pretty plainly. This is what Jude says at 23. Even the clothing stained by that sinful lifestyle. You don't even want to touch it. Now, I'm not saying we got to be that spooky. He's pointing out that this is how serious we need to take a new way of thinking. Drop it. Even the way we dress sometimes, you don't even need to go back. And stop thinking about it. There's other things too that I want to say too. This includes pictures of old loves. No, I'm teasing. Okay, so this is stuff. Stop thinking finally about it. If you're the kind of person that keeps these pictures of your old, nasty world, throw those things away. You don't need them. You don't need to remember that vacation with that loser. You don't need to remember the whatever that you did, or the this or thing, or the memento, or the sweet little son. You don't need it. What does it bring up? The back, the past. Get rid of that junk. What should you be looking forward to? You should be taking the things that are praiseworthy and excellent, bringing that stuff along with you. Those are some good mementos. But then look ahead to all the new pictures and the new experiences. So stop loving the world associated with your old life. Stop loving the world. This is a good way you practice it. And you know what that looks like, right? Each and every one of us go, I get it. I get it, you know. I used to, you know, like XYZ. I used to be a cage fighter, and I can't do that anymore. I'm a pastor now. And some of the stuff in my world that I have to let go is there was a lot in the arts. I grew up and I loved the arts. But here's the thing. For me, when I got into the arts, that was a world that it was not healthy. It was not beneficial. So that's where you met all the homosexuals. That's where you met all the girls. That's where you got into all the trouble. That's where you learned a lot of traits that are worldly. And I'm not saying on any stretch that the arts is bad. I love the arts. But I'll tell you, quite frankly, I had to choose, and I looked back for a long time. I kept thinking, Lord, what can we do? And so I was involved in community theaters, and I ran things, taught stuff in the public school. I taught Shakespeare theater in public schools, and I just wanted to keep one foot in my old art past because I just don't know if I want to let it go. And little by little, it began to burn me until finally I was like, you know what? It is not worth it. I've got to let it go. And I remember standing at Gambier College in Ohio, or Kenyon College in Gambier, Ohio. And I'm standing on the stage and in a performance, and I got this standing ovation, and the director of that arts program put his arm around me in the wing of the main theater, and he said, Ben, listen to that sound. This is what it's all about. And in that moment, as they're giving me a standing ovation, and I'm standing in the wings, and I'm waiting to go back out and take another bow, and he says that, it's like vomit just began to fill up in my soul, and I thought, I don't want anything to do with this anymore. I'm done. You've got to almost get to that point where you hate your old life like that and say, I don't want anything like that. Because that's not where the abundant life is. Amen. So there's so much more that we could say. I'm gonna wrap it up because there's only four more points. So, and hopefully, all right. Colossians 3:10, put off that old bad you. Ephesians 4:24, put off that old bad you. Some of this, let me say it in this way. This is a good application. Make note of the characteristics that are from your old self and your old lifestyle. Mark those as things that you need to put off. So this is different than a New Year's resolution. It's not just sense of willpower and saying, okay, this year I'm going to be a new me, a stronger will. No, this is the stuff that you got to be willing to take an assessment of your life and say, you know what? I'm not very hospitable. You might need to sit down with somebody and say, hey, what do you notice about me that's not changed in a while? Brace yourself. And they may say, well, you're pretty mean sometimes. Oh, really? Doggone it. Yeah. So then what do you need to do? Put off that old characteristic and put on Christ. Christ has a quality about his nature that we're going to learn more and more of with each new year. That means with each new year, you're putting off your old way about you. I pray that as I get older, each year I get sweeter and sweeter. Each year, I become more giving, more loving, more faithful, more all these things. Not the opposite. But it takes a sense of self-examination where you can identify it. I heard Dr. Henry Cloud says, if someone can't see it, they can't change. You have to be able to see it. So before this next year, get real with yourself and say, is there something about my nature, my characteristics, the quality of the way I do that can be put off? If so, just mark it there, put it in front of the Lord and say, this is done. God, it's in your hands. Help me walk differently. That's a good thing. I'm going to end on these points now. Here's another thing that needs to go. I love this. We need to forget the good old days. What do I mean? I just talked about the good old days in our bad self. That's not what I mean. I'm talking to Christians now. I'm talking to we got a bunch of good Christians who have been through all kinds of revivals. Praise God for those, right? I've been through some revivals. You know what we need to do? Forget them. Does that sound sacrilegious? A little bit, doesn't it? But I don't want to forget the great things that God does. You need to. Don't forget God, but you need to forget the wineskins and the garments and the forms and methods that God used in a former flow, because that's not what He's going to do now. It's a new thing. If all we do is enshrine the old ways of being delivered, then what you will be forcing God to do is limit Himself to the way He worked and related to people in the past. Do you realize something about us right now? We don't look like the Middle Eastern church. We don't look like the Jewish people. We don't look like Abraham and the nomadic people. We don't look like anything like that. We don't even look like the hippies from the Jesus movement. And I look at how much has changed just in the way we dress, in the way that we do church. Some of us, we don't even look Lutheran anymore. Whoa! Oh my gosh, this is scary. This creeps some people out. Is any of that stuff evil or bad? No, it is not evil or bad. This is the good old days. These are the wonderful things that God did. But don't come back and say, now I've got to start making sacrifices with animals again. That's idiot talk. And don't come back and say, oh, God ain't going to move unless we're singing the hymns. Some of us don't even know how to play a hymn. You know, and just like for me, you know, a lot of that Pentecostal outpouring, so much of my past is covered with this wonderful culture of Pentecostalism. And sometimes I make light of it. Get your hankies out. Preach back at me. Woohoo! And some of that stuff is just comfort food for me. Is that the way God's going to move? I don't expect God to move in those old ways. But I sure do appreciate what He did back then. But looking ahead, how is God going to move in the future? Boy, 30 years ago, we didn't even have the tech we have today. There's so much just technologically that's changed. What is God going to do with all of that? You know, it says in Mark 2, 21 through 22, it says about all those wineskins and the shrunk garments and all that stuff, and they don't blend well. It's amazing how, you know, we can't throw away the things that we should remember and praise God for, but we are to throw away those forms and methods that He used back in the day. Now, that's tough for some of us. It's tough. Those excellent and praiseworthy things, those are the things that we've got to hold on to and remember. Those things are surrounding. It's almost like they orbit Christ and His character. Those things don't change. So today, what should remain from those previous works is that we have a miracle-working God. Anybody say amen to that? That doesn't change. We have a powerful Spirit of God that still dwells inside of us as believers. I'm almost saying unbelievers. As believers, and that Spirit of God is greater than anything in this world. I still believe that. That's still the way things are. And there is more that God is going, that we could say about God. In fact, one of the things we need to do in this next year is we have got to become better at praising God so that the next generation hears about God. The next generation doesn't need to hear our old methods. They could care less. We should care less. What they do need is a greater praise and a greater worship of a God that is miracle working and powerful and all these other things, faithful, good, all that stuff. Boy, we got to talk more and more on that. And how we know if we're keeping some of this religion fresh and not just going back to the good old days is this: we must maintain our edge in prayer and in Bible meditation. We must maintain this edge. Paul Tucker would tell me, he says, Ben, you disqualify yourself from ministry if you fail to pray consistently. You disqualify yourself in ministry if you fail to meditate on the Scripture. You've got to meditate on the Scripture. It's the highest priority. The prayer, you got to do that. If you've loved what God did in the past, that all happened because someone somewhere prayed and meditated on the Word of God. And you hear it in the Old Testament. It said, hey, forget the former things. I'm doing something new, Isaiah said. He said, it's going to spring up. I'm going to make a way in even a desert place. This is beautiful. How do you hear that stuff unless you're in prayer with God and meditating on His Word? The other way that kind of comes with that is if you're meditating on the Word of God and you're praying, the kind of the cousin with this, the other thing is you've got to keep your obedience fresh. So here's beautiful things. Instead of going back to your old friend circles and your old ministry circles and your old stuff, instead, open yourself up and include new things that give you new opportunities to obey God or hear God or to develop a way of listening to God. And here's the other beautiful thing is when you open up to new people, you give yourself the chance to risk again. If you want to stay fresh, you've got to continue to take risks. Part of the allurement to the old, beautiful things that God's done is that's safe. We know it. Woohoo! God. But back then, you were scared. You didn't know what God was doing. Some of you know what I mean. You went into the first time you went into the presence of God, I guarantee you weren't like, oh man, this feels so good. You were like, what is going on? And the first time you raised your hands, you're like, I feel like I'm going to turn into a flame if I raise my hands. This is crazy. Or God's going to strike me dead, or I don't know what I was going to do. First time you prayed for somebody, I'm going to say everything wrong. I don't know what I'm going to do. Or for any time you took that step of faith and that risk, it was alive. You do not stop. You've got to do that now. So in this next year, take risks and obey God fresh. Okay, we got to stop on that because there's more. I didn't get to relationships, boundaries, and responsibilities. I didn't get to some of the other good stuff. Ah, oh, man. Well, if it's in the Bible, hopefully you can find it. So let's stand and let's pray. God is so good. I do feel a little sad that I did not get to talk about some of the things that we need to let go, like the hurts and the pains. I feel like that's an important issue. We didn't even get into that. And for some of you in this room, this whole last year, there's a lot of hurts. And so we're going to have to maybe talk about that. Maybe we'll talk that next week. We'll do part two next week, okay? But our abundant life is not behind us. It's in front of us. Praise you, Jesus. I don't know if you're in this room and any of this message even stirs you on some level, but my prayer for you is that just in the name of Jesus, any draw to the old you, the old ways that are ungodly and unfruitful would be broken. And any of this weird sense of taking God backwards and telling Him He's got to move and work in some old wineskin, that we just let that go and we begin to move forward and risk and obey in new ways. We rekindle that faithfulness in prayer and alertness in prayer and meditation. I pray this next year you kick it off with all those good things that should come into this new year and let go of all that old stuff. If you're in this room and you've been struggling with the old labels of your bad self, let's just seal it in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, I know that each and every one of us has a past, a former life separated from you when we were in darkness and we didn't even know all the things that were wrong. But your love and your kindness appeared to us. You drew us and you redeemed us by your blood. And we have brand new purposes and they have nothing to do with that old life. So in Jesus' name, every person in this room that struggles with those old labels and old ways of thinking about themselves, I declare a newness, that they are a new creation in you according to your words, and that all that stuff has passed away and they're brand new and they can think differently about themselves and differently about their purpose. So God, speak purpose into the life in this room that needs to let go of the old ways. Now God, capture their attention afresh today. What's in front of them is an abundant life. And we lay hold of that in Jesus' name. And like what Paul said, forgetting what lies behind, I press on towards that upward calling, that purpose, that prize. So Lord, let us run free in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, bless you, Don. Come on down. Before you hear the... And other than that, you got to be cool.